We're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis. We're chatting here today with Eric Reed, Assistant Superintendent for USD 383 Manhattan Ogden Schools, and Carla Hegemeister, School Board Member. And before we get moving along, we've got a phone call, so let's get to that right away. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Yes, with an idea from a parent, a grandparent, taxpayer, rather than wasting the time worrying over the who's vaccinated and who's not with your at-risk students. You know, you have your virtual academy. It doesn't matter whether you're at-risk students are in the grocery store or a big box store or out in public walking down the sidewalk, they're going to be at risk. And rather than pushing the questionable vaccines on people and whatever people would consider in going against their civil rights, you could just have the expanded the virtual academy and they would be protected if you're concerned about them. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
All right. We'll continue on here as we look at the rest of the agenda for the school board meeting tonight. And there's a ESOL annual report, Jobs for America's Graduates Kansas report as well coming up.
Yeah, I invite people to follow along in the ESOL conversation. Emily Cherms will be there, and Emily's just such a dynamic person, so passionate about the students she's responsible for in the ESOL program. And we've seen those numbers go down on paper, but that doesn't mean they're actually down. We've exited some kids we still do some services for, but it's always a fascinating thing to hear how many languages come into our schools, how she sets up the interpreters. You know, for parent-teacher conferences next week, she's got to solve a jigsaw puzzle big time just to get translators to visit so parents can talk to their teachers in a language they can understand. So the ESOL report's always fascinating, and I'm excited to have the Jobs for America's Graduates Kansas program, JAGK, and Dr. Burns will be there talking about the at-risk program we added to the high school a couple years back.
I'm super excited to read and to learn more about the ESOL report from Emily. I think Eric hit the nail on the head when he said that Emily is a passionate and dynamic speaker about that. And you can see it through the efforts that she makes just all the time on how to connect to our ESOL families and students and find ways to communicate and to strengthen those relationships that we have with the students. One thing that stuck out to me within that report, like Eric said, that those numbers might look like they're coming down just a hair, and I don't really rely upon those staying a hair lower. I think that's something that's pretty fluid throughout the year. But also she indicated and included in her report that there's a large variety of needs that are present within the ESOL population. It's not simply a matter that you are learning English, that oftentimes there are other complicating factors that are impacting how those students learn and what their needs are, and that the staff that are working with those students are addressing those needs as well. And so it's really a very holistic approach to their programming, and I think that it really focuses on the whole child and the whole family, and I think that it's a great strength in that program.
You know, I know my wife works as an aide over at Marlette, and working with a lot of these students that English is not their first language, and there are so many different languages that are spoken here. It's not just Spanish. It goes well beyond that. I don't remember how many they said, multiple languages here, but, you know, and not all the teachers have background in all of the other languages that they speak, but
I don't know if anybody does.
You know, so that's there's quite a challenge there.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it's a challenge just finding someone that speaks that language that can be that translator for us.
And that's with us living in a community that has a large university in it that has probably more than a lot of other districts out in the state that we're able to connect with. But also, I think Emily is creative in how she locates people for that. And whether it's having to use some online services sometimes or finding in-person translators. Her report indicated that there's to say that generally speaking that there's more than 40 languages represented district-wide. And that doesn't really account for the different dialects. Within. Mm-hmm. Within. So there's 40 different languages. And 1,109 students have families that indicated yes. As a language other than English that's represented in the home. So there's a good portion of our families that speak other languages at home, and so that connection to our students is really important.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't only have to learn English, they got to learn all the other subjects as well. Yeah. And trying to translate that is no easy task.
Well, but what an opportunity, you know, for the diversity of our community to speak in, and for, you know, even our students born and raised here that only speak English, to expose them to many different cultures and opportunities and language opportunities for them too is wonderful. That's one reason I love being here.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity. I remember back to my son, who's a junior now, his sixth grade year. They had a student who was visiting that year from China and came and didn't speak any English whatsoever. And they spent, him, Jacob, my son, and another student spent, I don't know, maybe the first 9 weeks of school with an iPad in hand and Google Translate. And they had a great time. And that student had a great successful year. He really excelled. But the students that were within his classroom also really benefited from having that relationship with him and learning from him as well. And it was a really standout, I think, portion of something that we will always remember. We'll always remember that student. Mm-hmm. And that was a benefit for us as a family as well.
I remember my wife said she had a Saudi student that they had to move back or something like that. And she was so sad to see him go because they bonded after so much time working together. Yeah, it's really fascinating to see all the different diversity in each of the schools. As far as other items on the agenda here tonight, the transportation annual report, anything significant coming out of that?
Yeah, just normal stuff. How many miles we roll? And it's a lot.
A lot.
We roll a lot of miles between our regular routes, our special education routes, our activity routes. Always looking for bus drivers. So if you're on the hunt to want to drive a bus, it's a great opportunity. At-risk annual report, kind of where we're targeting in our at-risk dollars. State's going to be looking at that really close. So Mr. Faust is going to report on how all the buildings are using their at-risk funds. And got something. We got a guaranteed maximum price tonight on the Keith Noel Maintenance Center. So that's the amount of money that it's going to cost the district to finish up that project. Second project we'll have actually bid out and a GMP on coming to the board. So excited to take that step.
All right. Well, that's good news. Let's see, what else
do we have? We also have DoDEA grant approval. If you guys remember, the Summer STEM Academy grew out of our first DoDEA grant, and we had an opportunity to jump on that grant again, which our teaching and learning staff taking advantage of that and putting it together and being able to support that program and moving that forward as well again. So we're excited about that.
I know a lot of parents in the community are excited about that as well. As a parent who's taken advantage of that program for both of my kids, it really does provide that great opportunity for learning during the summertime, especially for those upper, it is an upper elementary and middle school aged program. And so for those kids who've aged out of all the other things and are looking at you like, what am I doing this summer? Or if you want something that's going to be really fun, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, mornings in June. And we were on our second year, I believe, without any grant funding for that program. And it just gets tougher to run, tougher to do that. And this will allow us to keep functioning for several more years.
I wanted to ask you real quick, and this is not on the agenda here, but you know, we've heard a lot more about vaping in the news. And I know we talk about it a lot almost every time we're on the radio here, but we've seen more and more school districts going into lawsuits here against Juul. And I don't know if that's even been discussed at this point here with Manhattan Ogden Schools. Have you guys considered that at all?
Not at the board table, but I've been looking into it. Been visiting with some people, some different districts, and some people that are pushing that forward. And I will likely have something to bring back to the board at not this meeting, but a future meeting.
Okay.
I'll be interested to hear it.
I knew you would be, Carla.
I'm one of those parents that I've been on it. I've been looking at it and been concerned about it, having a teenager and another one who will be a teenager before I am ready. I have some significant concerns for our students' health and well-being and not just out of the illnesses that are happening from the underground vaping, but just from the nicotine consumption. We know that nicotine is not good for developing brains. And so even though these products are legal for adults to be using, they're not made for developing brains. And so I think it's a really significant health and wellness and educational concern for us. And I want my students, I want all of our students to be at school every day, ready to learn and in a physical condition that allows them to do that.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. You know, if you watch the stats on, you know, what happened with cigarettes, and you see a lot of concerted effort to be pushed into education for the kids, and you see that number drop, and you see it drop, and you see it drop, and I see it drop on almost all my teaching career and administrative career, and then something new pops up, and you see those numbers just shoot right back higher than they were even before on the cigarette use. And that's a scary thing in this world, that, you know, how long it took us to get the cigarette numbers down of teenagers, or, you know, kids that weren't even able to smoke, but the numbers were high, and you fight and you fight and you make ground, and then something else happens. So we're ready to fight that, because it's the right fight.
It is, and I think that's something that, a lesson learned. I think we had an opportunity to learn from the cigarette consumption and nicotine use out of that, and what my parents' generation experienced in school with cigarettes and nicotine, and what I experienced and what my kids are experiencing are all different things. But we certainly had a generation of people to learn from and to know the dangers of it. And I really hope that we will take the knowledge that we gained during that fight and apply it to this new vaping situation.
All right. We'll be excited to hear what comes of that. As far as donations, and you mentioned the DoDEA grant here, but mm-hmm. what other donations do we have?
I'll let Carla look up the donations, but I'll kind of highlight, we're doing a recognition tonight for Manhattan Ogden, earned the Silver Globe Achievement Award from the Kansas Association for Conservation and Environmental Education. We're the first green district in the state of Kansas, so we're being recognized, and our green team's being recognized for that tonight. So we're excited. That group puts in a lot of hard work. You know, Noah Bush, Courtney Smith are two of the leads on that, and Dr. Shiver does a nice job pushing it as well, and we get some community support too. So we're grateful for those partners.
Absolutely. For our donations and grants tonight, we will be accepting donations, a $2,500 cash donation from Manhattan Ogden Public Schools Foundation to USD 383 for the Fit Closet, which is Families in Transition, and a $1,400 cash grant from Keystone Learning Services to USD 383 for a mental health grant with TASN for a total of $3,900. And we are very appreciative of both of those donations. They are essential to, again, having healthy students and students who are able to come to school and be in a place where they can, but also them physically, mentally, emotionally being in a place where they're ready to learn and to be able to absorb what's happening in their day.
All right. School board meets tonight, 6:30 at the Robinson Education Center Kersmer Conference Room. It's at 2031 Points Avenue, right across from Manhattan High West Campus. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Brandon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Eric Reed and Carla Hagemeister, our guests. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Manhattan Area Technical College after this on News Radio KMAN.